at twitch.tv/1013thegame.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game, not all accounted for. No intern 11, no intern 12. TJ's here, Rich is here, Artie's here. How you doing today, handsome?
All the heavy hitters are here, and I emphasize the word heavy.
Yeah, wow, yeah. Wow, what does that mean?
Yeah. Oh, nothing. Would you say you lost 8 pounds last night playing basketball in 101 degrees?
Oh, I was almost got heat stroke out there.
Well,
almost got heat
didn't.
Stroke out there. My team's looking good. Like, what are you popping open a beer?
Sorry, I'm switching.
What is wrong with you?
Because of the heavy remark, I'm switching over to Diet Coke.
Oh, I thought it was Bud Heavy.
No,
he's drinking a beer. He just
that
doesn't want the boss. Yeah, of course it is.
You do know the owner, the boss, Ken, is in this building.
He doesn't care.
Right?
Yeah,
lax rules today, I guess. It's a Budweiser Tuesday.
Isn't it illegal to drink alcohol in the air? Which is kind of terrifying.
He understands that I work with both of you, so I said, go for it.
Can you imagine
drink
all the times,
Johnny?
I just can't even believe how many times I've drank beer on the air and got away with it.
That's such a rebel.
No, but I mean, have you?
No, I never would do anything like
that.
Okay,
I wouldn't either in the last 20 years, but I sure used to. Oh,
gosh.
Here's another 40 in a row.
That was Marcel Marcel's whistling in the wind.
There's some Liberace.
By the way, Scotty Bob said, wish today's show was short as yesterday's.
Wow.
Wow, right off the bat. We haven't even said anything today.
Really? Did he? What is that thing?
But yet I'll tune in at 4 o'clock to wish that your show was only 5 minutes
right,
long.
Right, that's great.
Unbelievable.
What is that disgusting? Is that a chemistry experiment gone bad?
My wife sent in a picture of what she's cooking for dinner today.
You're going to eat that?
No, see, this is why I lie to her and say that I have to stay late and record something with Rich. And then on the way home, I'll pick up something from RJ's and eat it before I get home.
That isn't even food. What is that? It's a plastic. It looks like something you'd see in a Petri dish.
It's a burger that's moldy.
Oh, that's disgusting.
It's pink and kind of yellow and green.
I think it's a salmon burger.
I don't think I've ever seen meat that shade of color.
No, it's not supposed to be that shade
it's
of color.
It's a salmon burger?
Yeah, you see, this is
who
why.
Who eats that?
And you wonder why I complain about my wife's cooking.
Is she going to cook it for you? Maybe she can salvage it somehow.
She wants me dead.
She allowed you to play basketball in 98 degrees.
My wife eats those, too.
Oh, that's horrible. You know, it's my wife's birthday on Thursday. Maybe I'll make her eat that for Thursday.
There you go.
She wants to go out to dinner. I'm like, the dollar menu's good enough for you.
I can't believe you're going to eat that.
My wife is always trying to get me to eat salmon. And when I was a kid, my dad used to make, out of a can, salmon cakes. And they were the most disgusting thing ever, and I can't do it.
No.
I just can't.
I don't mind salmon as long as it's at a restaurant and it's drowned in butter.
Yeah, she expects me to take her out to dinner on Thursday for her birthday.
Expects? Yeah.
Well, that's what she wants, but I go, people in hell want ice water, so what do you...
take her to Micronesia.
Yeah, sometimes you don't get what you want every time.
So are you going to take her out?
No, probably not. I didn't get her anything. I'm taking her on vacation.
Well, she said she's cooking for you tonight. I just heard the conversation. Put it on speakerphone.
That's for her to get even with me.
You really missed your calling. You should have been like a relationship expert.
Exactly. I should do a podcast with my wife.
You should.
I don't know what the hell we would talk about, though. We have nothing in common.
You can do what every other married couple does and argue about what's for dinner every night.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
Whether it's edible or not. Consultant Sam in Plattsburgh, where I was today, says, I couldn't imagine how much less this show would be about sports with alcohol involved.
Speaking of that, we only had 10 minutes yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a pretty eventful weekend this past weekend.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
What are you looking at me for? I don't know what was so eventful.
Well, I'm anxious to hear about your basketball game, but I suspect that TJ is heading in a different direction here.
I just wanted to know how your Saturday night went. I mean,
I worked.
You worked, right?
I worked, yeah.
Yeah. How was your Saturday night, Rich?
I slept.
Oh, Rich slept. Now, what happened when you were at the poorhouse? Yeah.
I might have lost my keys. Went out to find them at the car, which is where they turned out to be. Couldn't find them anywhere around the car.
Hold on. For all of our listeners, if you're not sitting down right now, please sit down. You're going to need to.
All right, so I played a cornhole tournament with my friend in South Burlington, which started at like noon.
Right.
Which was my first mistake.
Yeah.
So we went to the poorhouse at 7.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then Then we went into the poorhouse, and I suddenly realized I didn't have my keys, because what I do is I throw them under the wheel.
Right.
Because I don't feel like, you know me, Mr. Minimal. I don't want anything in my pockets.
Make it easy for the people that want to steal your car.
I've been doing that for 25 years, everybody.
Believe me, I know. That's why I like to take your car out when you don't know.
That's a blue Kia Forte. Yeah.
Now everybody's going to be looking for Rich's car when they see him out.
But the problem was is I threw them a little bit too aggressively, and they went to the side of the tire, inside, you know, under the car. They weren't right under the wheel where you can just grab at
them. God forbid you should put them in your pocket.
So, but that's what set off the whole thing.
That's why you have cargo shorts.
So I come out. So I have one. You know, I get out of the bar. And there's nothing in the world. Have you ever lost your keys, you guys?
What time did you leave the bar?
It was probably 11:30.
Okay.
If I lose my keys, I go ballistic.
Well, there's nothing I could do.
I go ballistic.
I was pissed too, but what are you going to do? You can't drive anywhere. And then when you drive somewhere, you can't get into your house, and you can't do anything. Your whole life just stops. And there was no Ubers or there's nobody out. And even if they had Ubered me to my house, I couldn't get in anyway.
You should have called me.
Wait.
Oh, that would have been. I
wouldn't have answered, but you should have called me.
Wait a minute. So you couldn't get in your car.
Correct.
You couldn't get in your house.
Correct.
And now you're in the parking lot of the poorhouse, and it's 11:30 at night.
Yes, so I decided to
Does a Rich Haskell do?
You fall asleep so that you wake up and feel better. I'll feel worse.
What are you, a vagrant?
Well, there was nothing else I could do, so I just fell asleep.
On the grass?
I was literally 2 feet away from my keys.
I wish you would have gotten arrested.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
You're like a vagrant. What is wrong with you?
If the cops had run a sweep through the parking lot, I would have been in some trouble there.
What is wrong with you?
But at
Seriously.
Least I would have had a place to sleep. Plus, the police department is right up the street from the poorhouse.
I don't even know what to say.
Can I ask you a stupid question?
Why not? You do it every day.
You have a brand new car.
Yes.
You could unlock it with your phone.
Really?
You could just slept in your car.
I could have unlocked it with my phone.
It also has buttons on the side of it where the door is. You could press the buttons and open it up.
There aren't any of those.
There is.
I didn't see
it. But you do have an app. You probably have an app for your car.
All right. Well, it was a very restful sleep, as you can imagine.
How do you sleep
900
outside?
Beers.
Did you sleep on the macadam, on the grass?
A macadam?
On the blacktop?
No. It was on the grass, right in front of my car.
Can you see, like, listeners coming by? Goes, is that Rich Haskell? What
the hell's he doing
passed
there?
Out on the grass? Let's urinate on him.
Is he dead?
What is wrong with you?
There was nowhere else. There was no way out. There was nothing I could do.
Dude, I think you need an intervention.
You could have called me, and I would have said, no way I'm picking you up, but have a good walk over. I wouldn't have let you in the house.
I suppose I could have called somebody.
But you just said, the hell with it, I'll sleep
on
the grass.
I just thought it would be easier because I knew the keys had to be there. So meanwhile, Sunday comes and poor Lainey's got to drive me everywhere. And then yesterday I got the second set of keys and then started the car in the parking lot with the second set of keys, backed out, and there they were. Problem solved.
I'm just wondering, who just says blanket, I'm going to sleep on the floor of the outside?
I don't like dealing with hassles or stress.
Suppose
or
somebody would have come and mugged you.
And he was hammered.
It's South Burlington. No one's going to mug me.
Troy said the police department didn't stop by to see if you were okay.
They didn't know there was a problem. There was no problem. I was just sleeping.
They patrol
peacefully.
The area. Wouldn't you think somebody would go by and go, hey,
well,
there's a guy passed out in the grass.
They have been defunded, so.
Well, that's I understand.
Yes, it's true. There aren't any, especially that time of the night. People can just shoot each other in Burlington now like they did on Saturday night.
Well, what do you think they went by and said, who's that? Oh, that's just Richie. Probably forgot his keys again. I feel like we live in Mayberry. You could have been like Otis the drunk and been in the jail with the big ring around it right next to in and out.
But here's the deal. Yesterday, we only had 10 minutes because we had a Red Sox game. And yesterday, Rich was telling Arnie and I this story. And Arnie and I were both looking at each other like,
I mean, what's wrong with
him? You gotta be kidding me. You slept on the grass?
I would have thrown myself out in front of traffic or hitchhiked home or something.
Oh,
traffic Travis in Plattsburgh, was Rich planning on sleeping in his car? Absolutely. There was no way I was leaving that parking lot.
What is wrong with you? Seriously.
It was perfectly fine. I knew at that time that when I woke up, things were going to fall into place. I just didn't want to get stressed. Plus, I had 114 beers.
How long until you slept for what, 5-6 hours?
Yes.
Let's,
so wait a minute. So his cars are zooming by you. Zoom.
Really. Not late at
night. Honking and all that.
Oh, no, that wouldn't
You're just
be.
Like,
not on Williston Road. There's no traffic on Williston Road.
Can you keep it down? A man's got to sleep here.
But let's also.
I don't get it.
Let's also tell people that had you had your keys.
Yes, there's no chance I would have driven away.
Right.
But you slept in the car.
You would have, like, crawled in the back seat.
Yes, is it illegal to sleep in your car?
That's a good question. If the keys are in the ignition, yes.
Okay, but if the keys are sitting
in
my
brother
seat,
found that out.
They... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kyle said Rich's new nickname should be Otis from Mayberry.
Wow. Put a spare key in your wallet.
That's what Mike in Georgia said.
How about one of those metal things, a little box that you put under the undercarriage of your car that you can put a key in?
How about you download the app for your phone?
Why don't you just leave the car running so you know where the key is all the time?
This is exciting.
Roll down the window and just have the car running the whole time. Gas is cheap enough.
Well,
I just
knew that I didn't want to deal with it at that time because you know how much I hate stress.
How long did you sleep?
5 or 6 hours.
In the dark?
No, in the bright sunshine.
No,
in the grass.
In the grass.
Yes.
The
dogs, has anybody checked you for ticks?
Where the dogs pee and poop.
No, but you know what there was a lot of? When I woke up in the morning, I was surrounded by cigarette butts.
So now when I call you...
It wasn't really appealing.
So when I call you poop head, now it's true. Gosh.
Believe me, that's not what he calls
me. A bunch of homeless people standing over him at 3 a.m. smoking cigarettes.
How about you don't drink 141 beers? Yeah, that would have solved a lot of things. But you know what it would have done is it would have stressed me. So therefore, it was a good thing.
I still don't know how somebody didn't come shank you or something.
I don't even know what that means.
That means to stab you?
Why would someone stab someone in South Burlington?
I'm from the Bronx.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
Well, I'm not in the Bronx. If I'd been passed out in the Bronx, that would have been a little different story.
I wonder if this happens to all of Rich's buddies by the poorhouse. I'd be drive by that every night and start stealing wallets. Make a little extra money on the side.
Check every car in the lot for
TJ,
keys under the front wheel.
You want to go steal some cars? I know where the keys are.
But poor Lainey drives. She must have put 150 miles on
We would have to change the name of that movie to Gone in 15 Seconds.
Do you crawl up in a ball when you sleep, or do you just sleep?
I don't know.
Do you sleep like you're passed out on your back?
I haven't slept on the grass in at least a couple of years.
I know, but do you sleep like you've been shot and like on your back?
I don't know.
I have no
idea. Ask my cat.
Did you try to get near like a fire hydrant so nobody bothers you? Did you try to get in a corner somewhere? Or you wouldn't sleep out? Like you didn't sleep in the middle of the parking lot, did you?
Again, no.
Right.
No, I slept directly in front of my car.
Has anybody checked you for ticks?
No. No. See, I was hoping that this would blow over because of the fact that we had a 7-minute show yesterday.
Never.
Because what I'm interested in is hearing how you somehow survived no heart attack whatsoever playing basketball in 96 degrees.
It's a lot easier to do that than survive overnight sleeping on the grass. That's what I'm thinking.
Jack in North Carolina, as Otis would say, I've got a hobby.
Yeah, drinking.
No, it was just that night, and it was no problem. There was I wasn't going to drive home.
Kobe says, imagine if he woke up and there was a homeless man spooning with him.
Dirty Mike and the boys.
Wow, we really went there. The bartenders must have pictures. You know they do.
Yeah, they have to. That's probably where all the cigarette butts came from.
So this was Saturday night in the Sunday, right?
Yes. Yes, the day of the cornhole tournament that started at noon, unfortunately.
Wow.
And everything else started at noon, too, I can assure you.
I just don't know how one does that. I really don't.
It was nothing. It's happened before. I've slept in Lindenville outside in the winter.
I've slept on dog poop before. What is wrong with you people? Who hasn't?
So how was that basketball game, Arnie? I'm really anxious to hear about it.
I don't know that you can transition out of this story like that.
I sweated like a pig and still probably smelled better than you the next day.
I wish Lainey would call.
Even if I didn't shower.
She got stuck in the middle of all of it. So that's a sign of a really tolerant girlfriend.
Yeah, the dragger. Would she pick you up? Come now, pick you up.
Yeah, she picked me up and we went immediately to the spank puppy and enjoyed a long, full day of partying.
Some Bloody Marys.
Hair of the dog, baby.
Didn't you even go home and shower, brush your teeth, change your clothes?
I was able to get in because of some help from a neighbor. Basically, I just stood there and waited for someone who lives in the same apartment to walk in the door.
Can someone help me? Can someone help me, please?
I can't take it. I
please.
Can't.
Rich, this is the most non-Flatlander story of the weekend.
Can someone help me? I don't even see college kids passed out on the ground.
What?
I don't even see the college
kids. You clearly
kids.
Never walked around Linden State in the 80s.
Can
we were all on the grass.
I can't find my keys and I want to go to bed. The
I didn't worry about it. I just went to sleep.
Did you take your shirt off?
No.
Why didn't you lay across the hood of the car or something?
Because I couldn't sleep if I'm on the hood of the car. If I sleep on the ground, it feels more like wake up in South Hero.
But you didn't sleep on rocks. You slept on grass.
I don't know what I slept on.
Oh, so it could have been on the concrete.
It was not concrete.
Okay.
No, because I went back to the scene of the crime on Sunday. And
so it was grassy.
And then yesterday I went back and backed out my car with a second set of keys they gave me, and poof, there were my keys.
Did you sleep good, though?
I slept very well.
Really? I would have been afraid somebody would come mug me.
Well, when you're hammered, you don't worry about things like that.
I guess not.
17 minutes of talking about this.
There should be 17 days of talking about this.
I think you need an intervention, dude.
I really don't. You're lucky you didn't wake up in a bathtub with ice and somebody take your kidney out or something like that.
Ben and Elberg, Arnie Rich is a professional. I go, this is not a big deal. I really didn't want to bring it
up. It's not a big deal.
So I slept on the ground. Haven't you ever slept on the grass before?
At a campground.
No, I've never even done that.
How about outside of a bar?
No.
Jeez, I have.
No.
The packing house lounge in Lindenville. We used to live out back of that place.
I've never slept on the ground outside a bar. No, I've never done that.
Well, then I guess I'm a better
man.
And
I went to college.
No, you didn't. You went to Arizona.
Gosh.
Oh, all these texts now won't let me log in.
Passing out on the grass at 25, questionable at 60. Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. Not at 25, I'd say, what's wrong with you?
I know. I keep thinking I'm 25. This is becoming a problem in my ancient years.
You think?
I still don't know why you couldn't call up a friend to have you come pick you up.
I guess I could have, but I just wanted to go to sleep.
Yeah, I would have even driven from Barrie to come get you. I mean, don't be sleeping in the grass.
Why?
You could have come here.
Don't you ever go camping?
You could have come to work.
Yes, at campgrounds.
This is a camping experience without the tent.
Yeah, why didn't you come here?
It's not Woodstock, Rich.
I didn't want to go anywhere.
No, you could have got a ride to work.
Ever had 20 beers in your system and just said, oh, screw this, I'm
just going to
sleep? I
haven't had 20 beers in 20 years.
That's true.
Can you get Dr. Drew on the line? Your buddy, Dr. Drew?
Maybe. I think he works for my company.
Oh, it was all a good laugh. Come on.
What can Dr. Drew do for him that I can't?
Peter and Williston recommended that.
Celebrity rehab?
Celebrity.
You do need an intervention if I've ever seen one.
Why? Just because of that situation?
Yeah. And then you went up and drank the next morning? Yes. That is exactly right.
I didn't drink
beer,
I'll
got
tell
me.
You that.
You got me.
I started with about 3 glasses of water.
You got me.
Everybody's like, you're not drinking water.
Twist my arm.
Yep.
You're drinking Bloody Marys till your head spins.
I got to introduce you to my brother.
Why is that?
Because he's a huge alcoholic.
Oh, gee, thanks.
You guys get along great.
Kobe says, I've been listening to the show for 5 years. This is my favorite story by far.
No, I thought the repo one was a little better, but
Tony says, honestly, someone needs to tell Rich that people like myself have the unfortunate circumstance of drinking 18 to 20 beers in a day and then sleeping in my home in my bed for a few hours in the morning. I got pulled over for speeding and then still blew over the limit.
Yeah. I was doing the right thing. I was being a law-abiding citizen by sleeping in front of
my
car.
No, what do they call that? Disorderly conduct.
You have no blanket and no pillow.
No, it was
pillow.
80 degrees outside. It was beautiful.
But you have no pillow.
And here's the thing.
What? Your pillow is up against the bird poop. I mean, that's...
Those aren't pillows.
Yeah, your head is on bird poop.
And it's not exactly law-abiding citizen if a cop comes by because you're now publicly intoxicated laying in the grass.
But if I'm sleeping, how can he tell I'm intoxicated?
Ben said I should reach out for my connections, get Dr. Phil. I hate Dr. Phil. That guy's so...
Money grab.
Pretends like he's so righteous. I would smack that guy. Smack the bald off him. My goodness. Drives me crazy. Well, I'm glad you're safe.
I'm fine.
What would I have told the audience the next day if something would have happened to you? Sorry, Rich died because he was sleeping out in front of the poorhouse.
Like the time I couldn't find the bus back from the Rolling Stones concert at Olympic Stadium in Montreal. Somebody else had to do the show while I slept in the bus station.
How many bug bites did Rich wake up with, Travis?
None.
Wants to know.
Nothing. I don't seem to have anything going on.
No, they wouldn't go near the alcohol aspiring from his pores.
You lucky he didn't get arrested for vagrancy, Peter said.
Okay, well, that would have been a problem. Yeah.
But you didn't hear any cars drive by?
I didn't hear anything. I was asleep in 5 seconds.
But cars did drive by. You
probably. It's Williston Road.
I think somebody said, hey, wake up, old man, threw like an empty beer can at you. And you go, leave me alone.
Well, he did say there was a bunch of cigarette butts around him when he woke up in the morning. So people, and that was probably the entire staff of the poorhouse after hours out back taking selfies next to him.
Yeah, they were smoking around you. They're putting out their cigarette butts on your head. That's what I would have been doing.
Wow, that Rolling Stones incident was 30 years ago, and Dwight just texted in, we met you with Count Chocula at the bus station. That's a true story. The person who took my place said, Rich is really tired. He's exhausted. He's finally getting back to the bus station, which at the time was on Main Street in Burlington, or the Hemporium or whatever it's called now.
Hemporium.
Is.
Hemporium?
Whatever it's called.
What the hell?
House of Hemp, whatever it is. But there's like seven people who met me with Count Chocula. That was a fun night.
I don't even know what the hell you're talking. I think you're having a stroke now from sleeping.
No, we're talking about
night.
The Rolling Stones night in Montreal. Speaking of Montreal, how about their hockey team, huh? Not that I'm trying to change the subject.
He is trying to change the subject.
Well, if I passed out in the middle of the street, I'm surprised someone didn't draw a chalk outline of you. You know what I mean? We did that to our boss who passed out at a bar. Yeah. We drew a chalk outline of the guy. Big fatso.
Okay, if FYI, Rich, this is Bob in West Michigan. If you sleep in your car and your keys are under the car, you're good.
Okay, well,
the problem
was
I couldn't get into the car to sleep in it because the keys were under the car, but I couldn't find them.
Couldn't you just take a hanger and put it through the window and get open that
way? Well, we brought some tow truck guy all the way down from Swanton, and he goes, here, I can get you in. Are the keys in there? I said, I don't know.
So why wouldn't he open it up?
He did open it up. What's the place called?
How much did it cost you?
It was free through insurance.
Oh.
But the poor guy, he says, well, you mean you don't even know if your keys are in the car? I said, no.
He said, no, I slept here on the grass last night.
He drove all the way from Swanton.
Meanwhile,
the cars are 3 feet away from me.
Justin said I would have taken his shoes. Yeah, I suppose it would have been your Velcro shoes. That would have been the only pair you have. You would have had no more shoes at all.
Randy, how great would have it been if Rich had had to read about his own arrest on WVMT News yesterday morning?
sportscaster Rich Haskell, that's me, everybody, got arrested.
No, I didn't feel like I had done anything law-breaking. Nothing.
Well, that's
I just
what they
slept
all say.
In front of my car.
No, intoxicated.
Okay. But so I could have, if the cops had showed up and I was just sleeping there intoxicated.
Officer, you got a tuna sandwich? Really
would,
hungry.
Would that have been an arrest possibility?
No. They would have given you a tuna sandwich, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, we got one right here, Rich.
I got to tell you something. I've worked all over the country. I started in this business when I was 14. I've worked with all kinds of different people. That may be the single greatest coworker story I've ever heard.
You could have come to work and slept here.
How? How am I going to get there?
The door's always open.
The door was locked here. I couldn't get in my house. I couldn't get in work. I couldn't go anywhere.
We have the code for the garage.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have remembered it in that situation.
Because he was hammered.
Hey, let's try this one.
I think it's 420 pound or something like that.
Let's see here. The number is 6. No.
Meanwhile,
7.
Meanwhile, the alarm's going off.
Intern 12.
Nope.
Intern 12 turned it to 420.
Ben and Oliver, Townline Towing of Swanton. That's right. Thank you for showing up, even though it did me no good whatsoever. But he tried.
Well, he got the door open for you.
Well, yeah, if you had to stay another day, at least you could have slept in the car.
Yeah. We should have a place to sleep. You had a roof over your head.
I didn't feel like I was doing anything dangerous or weird or anything. I just wanted to sleep.
No, it is weird.
But okay, I knew the keys.
We could take that.
Well, it didn't feel strange to me because I knew the keys had to be right there somewhere.
No,
it was just too dark
fine,
to find them.
But you were sleeping in poop.
Right now.
Are you listening to me? And then you got up the next morning. You didn't shower. You didn't change
sure
your clothes.
Sure, I showered.
And you
what are
said,
you talking about?
Yeehaw, let's party some more.
I went, I got home, the guy let me in the building, and I showered and slept some more, and yeah, and went out and had fun. So Tony says I would have been put into protective custody. Okay, that wouldn't have been good. Who am I being protected from?
Yourself. It'll protect you from yourself.
So how was your hoops last night? Now that we've talked for, what, 37 minutes?
What can I say? It was just hot. That's all. It was super hot out there.
Yeah, this story isn't quite as interesting as the other one.
Well, only because he didn't drop on the court.
Yeah, if I would have had a heart attack, then we'd have plenty to say.
So I hear Mike Trimboli showed up, the only one of the greatest basketball players in UVM history.
He didn't show up, but he's going to be in the league.
I thought he played last night.
No, he's going to be in the league.
The last time you played against him in the YMCA League, he scored 54, and you covered him.
No, I wasn't in that game. I didn't cover him. He scored 50 against our team, but believe me, he's going to be in the league this year, and he's slower and fatter than ever. So
he'll only score 50.
No, I'm going to – believe me, I'm waiting for that game. I'm putting a little mark by that game.
I can't believe you just used the term slower and fatter to explain any other human being.
Yeah, he's playing with his buddies, I guess. His grade school buddies or whatever. Oh, his friends.
Sounds like a lot of points.
Yeah. No, it sounds like they're just all old and fat now.
So how did you do? Did you score anything?
No, we didn't have a game. We just had some pickup. We just played some pickup ball.
So you didn't even keep track knowing you. I'm surprised.
No, we played 3-on-3. That's all. It wasn't anything crazy.
So Spanier from deep. Did you hit anything?
Oh, yeah. I'm not a shooter. I'm a maker.
Yeah.
I'm a maker,
right,
dude.
Right.
So I'm still the best on my team. We got the best team by far. And I'm the best on the team. So what does that say?
It's funny, you weren't the number one overall pick.
No, I was. By the way, I found out I was the number 7 pick out of 8, but it makes sense now. I found out who was our number 8 pick. It was the guy with one arm. So,
yeah.
You know that guy that we play with? I told you about it before.
This is the Helen Keller basketball league,
No,
right?
No, being serious, the guy has one arm.
God. You got picked ahead of a guy with one arm.
But I got picked ahead of 12 people. I was picked 4th in the 7th round.
Okay, so there's 12 people who were picked after Arnie Spanier?
Yeah. And the one guy that was picked after me only has one arm, Taylor. But he's a cool guy, and he's a pretty good player, too.
Do any of them even move?
Yeah, there's some good players on the team. We have the best team.
Why would somebody pick you ahead of a good player?
Because I'm damn good, Rich. I'm damn good.
How was your defense last night?
Oh, better than ever.
I only know because I've seen him play, quote, defense.
So in 96-degree weather, you were playing pickup basketball last night.
Like a nut. And I was sweating like a pig.
I bet.
It's like I'm actually sore today.
I bet.
I used to go out running and that stuff because I thought it was going to do my body good and I'd be able to prepare for running in the heat.
First time I played in a year and a half, and I haven't lost my shot.
Oh, man.
Picked it up right where I left off, just like it was Williston Central School. No problemo,
baby. It's like riding a bike.
Yeah, Trimboli, he is.
It's like sleeping in the grass.
Yeah, sleeping in poop.
Just cigarettes.
Trimboli is in big trouble when I play him in July.
Why?
He had
54 against you last time.
Not against me, my team. I keep telling you that. My team.
Yeah, but you were the guy standing at the other end of the floor that allowed a
5-on-4. I wasn't playing that game. I don't know where I was.
All I know is I've seen you create a lot of 5-on-4s at the other end.
Wow. All right, we do have to get to sports, but congratulations for staying alive.
People say don't talk sports, talk Rich's stories.
Yeah, we should just do that. Get back to more of Rich's drunk stories. They're so funny.
Will in Plattsburgh says, hopefully the poor house put a picture on the wall. Wow. Can only hope not.
That'd be awesome if they did that.
Customer of the decade.
That was a good Saturday. We had a lot of fun.
I should charge people $5 to take your picture with Rich.
And after all that, my cornhole team went 1-4.
You have a record? You keep track?
Yeah, we played 5 rounds.
What is, that's so
Each
Vermont.
One with about 3 beers.
That's so Jericho.
Except it was in South Burlington.
Whatever. Yeah. Shut up.
It was literally 100 feet from the police station.
Yeah, we had one of those polls a couple of weeks ago that said South Burlington was one of the friendliest places in the country to live. So that would be why he didn't get mugged.
I thought about that
slept
when
on
I was
the grass.
Laying in the cigarettes, and I decided I was safe.
Yeah.
Unless somebody threw a lit cigarette out. Oh, my God. There's a guy in the grass.
And your clothes caught on fire. How funny would that be?
Oh, that'd be great.
I would be laughing my ass off. Hey, look, TJ, Rich is on fire. Should we wake him up? Nah, he wants to sleep a little bit. He's very comfortable.
Can you imagine the Bud Light aspirating from his pores as he lays there at 12:30
at
night?
You must have just stunk in the morning with the heat.
Just making this stuff up.
Why wouldn't you stink? Why wouldn't you stink? It was hot out. You slept on cigarette butts. You slept out in the dirt and filth.
And you drank 141 beers.
What is wrong? Why would you stink?
That's what a shower is for, Arnie.
Come here, baby.
You know showers. You have 4 of them every day.
I had 2 today just before I got to work.
Just thinking about it made you shower.
Gosh.
Randy in St. Albans, I played hockey in that weather last night. The surface was what you would expect.
I feel like going home to shower just after hearing your story. Oh, my God. I feel dirty myself.
I noticed people were keeping their distance from me at Orange Theory today.
You still stink from Saturday.
Stop. Like,
there's that guy Rich.
At no point did I stink. Although Lainey did say my breath was a little rough on Sunday.
Right. I bet.
Smelled like hell.
She says it smells like cheese and beer, which is exactly what I ate for breakfast
on
Sunday.
She was being kind. Smelled like crap.
Dog that was licking your lips at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You had the Zachary's. And your mouth tastes exactly like your butt. Gosh.
Wow. What's that called? The Zachary's?
The Zachary's.
I have to remember that one.
This could be the greatest story ever told.
The Spank Puppy has a cornhole league starting June 23rd, Rich. Uh-oh. that's a bad place for one.
All right. We got to do something. All right,
Can we talk about the disgusting refereeing in the Bruins game last night?
We'll come back. We'll talk Bruins. Is that what you want to do?
And the Habs.
Okay. They're going to do that just for you, just because you passed out on the dirt.
No, whatever you want to talk about. The Sox have won 5 in a row. Lake Monsters are home tonight. Do you know how many people are going to come up to me at the Lake Monsters game tonight and say, hey, I heard your story about Saturday.
Rich Haskell, role model.
Oh, that's rolling in the dirt. Jeez. All right, we'll get to some Bruins. We'll start that off. That's coming up next. You're in the huddle. What do I point to the game?
All right, let's talk about The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Very, very funny. Weekdays from noon to 3. Play this tape on 101.3. There's no way out. The game. You've told us how much you love listening to The Huddle, but did you know that you can watch it now, too? The Huddle streams live every day at twitch.tv/1013thegame.
Hi, folks, it's Dr. Fauci, and cruises are starting back up, and I'm being paid handsomely by a cruise company that will not be named to let you know that it is perfectly safe. In fact, you don't even have to wear a mask.
But do we still have to wear a mask at the grocery store?
Absolutely. But once you come aboard a wonderful cruise, you can toss that mask aside. Perfectly safe.
What about school?
Yes, wear a mask at school. But again, I can't stress enough that cruises are safe and you should get out there and take a cruise with your family.
So it isn't safe to wear a mask at the store or at school, but you can wear one on an isolated cruise ship with hundreds of people? And
you got a problem with that? Huh? Is this your name I see on this big fat check? No, the cruise company is paying me and I'm going to be out of a job soon and I need all the money I can get and I say it's safe to go on a cruise with no mask.
Yikes.
Cruises, book one today.
I like that.
He's become quite a character on this show. I think I hear him more on this show than I see him on TV.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. One guy's unhappy. He says, your banter and show quality overall has gone down. Almost can't listen. Tell the boss.
Okay, can I replace the word almost can't listen to please don't?
Don't stop. First of all.
Bye-bye.
Wait. First of all, I'm the boss.
No, the boss is actually on the other side of the glass. I'm going to go tell him right now that we suck.
Why would I tell the boss? What do I say? Hey, I want you to know this guy says we suck and he can't listen.
There's 400 texts about how that was the funnest half hour ever.
Let me run to the boss.
And a slime ball.
No, let me run to the boss immediately. Why would I tell him that? Why would I say, oh, boss, by the way.
We suck.
I just want you to know that, okay?
And, of course, it's an unnamed, an anonymous tough guy. So.
But I just, I'm going to run, tell him, we're doing radio. I just wanted you to know one guy thinks we just absolutely suck. He won't listen.
Out of the 300 positive texts. What a miserable life that must be.
You could say we suck, but why would I tell on myself? I don't understand that. I don't get that. You want to say I suck? Fine. But, enough is enough.
Well, in his defense, Rich did admit to sleeping in the grass.
Was that bad radio?
I'm just saying that you did tell on yourself. You admitted. Like, if I had done that, I wouldn't tell anybody.
All right, 802-655-6672.
Bye-bye.
Your Islanders, how about
my
that?
My Islanders?
Yes. No, your Bruins, of course. they're down 3-2. So, Rich, kind of in bad situation. All right, first things first, you don't pull Tuukka Rask down 4-2, Rich, to start off the third. I thought that was a mistake. You're really going ahead, and you're saying Tuukka was your fault. So I would not have done that. You put in Swayman. He gave up the fifth goal.
Yep.
That was the deciding goal. It wasn't done at 4-2. I think Cassie made a big, big mistake there.
I don't think that had anything to do with the fact that he was playing lousy, and he did. He had two of those goals I thought were his fault. One of them was a bounce between Connor Clifton's. You don't see too many hit both skates. I don't think he had any chance on that one. But I don't think Tuukka's healthy. And I think what happened in the post-game press conference, was that Cassidy, Bruce Cassidy said, he said he didn't, he seemed like he wasn't 100%. And if your coach is going to say that, then there's a little more to it, obviously.
Not 100%.
Would you rather have a 75% Tuukka Rask in there against the Islanders? Would you rather have 100% Jeremy Swayman?
I don't believe he wasn't ready. I don't care if you're 100% or you're going to tell me he's 90%. Two, he was enough to start the game. He was okay to play the game before, and he's going to be okay to play the next game. Now you're just coming up with excuses. You're coming up with this, that, and the other. I think it's baloney. You made a big mistake. You cost your team the game. They rallied from 4-2. If you don't give up that fifth goal, you're going into overtime. And, well, again, that's if Tuukka. There wasn't a lot of shots. You outshot them almost like 2-1 there, Rich.
Oh, as always. The Bruins always outshoot all their opponents, but they don't always outscore them. Most of the time they do, but certainly not in this series. I just don't think Tuukka's healthy. I think something's going on there, and here we go again. You know, I mean, immediately you go to WEI, you go to 98.5 The Sports Hub, and everybody's, Tuukka's got to be, that's it. We can't take Tuukka anymore. Tuukka has saved your bacon for most of the playoffs. He's been unbelievable in several of their wins.
I'm disappointed with Cassidy. I think he totally cost him the game.
Wow. And how about Tuukka costing him the game by being in there and not healthy? So you don't think it has anything to do with him being at 80%
so
or whatever?
You weren't saying anything the game before, Rich. And you're not going to say anything in game six, are you?
Well, I didn't know that health was an issue for
it
him.
It isn't an issue.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because Bruce Cassidy said it's an issue.
No, he just said he's not 100%, but nobody's 100%.
Right. No, but isn't that
nobody's
sort of
100%.
No, but he's not 100% coming from your coach.
So if I told you
isn't
90%.
Sort of a hint?
Would you not be ripping him if I said, Tuukka's only 90%, so he's going to sit out tonight? No, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, there's no way. So, okay, Ben, let's forward this. Who's in goal tomorrow for the Bruins?
It's Tuukka Rask.
I completely agree.
There's no issue about that. So if he was so banged up, they would say, well, we have to see how things go. And it's not like that. It's a bogus excuse.
What if Tuukka Rask actually has some sort of malady going on and is not at 100%?
Then he wouldn't play tomorrow.
Start him?
Then he wouldn't play tomorrow. But he is going to play, and they already announced it because they know it's a bunch of baloney.
No, that part of it I agree with.
And I will remind you, just to play devil's advocate here, this is the guy who last season said he had a big family emergency and was out golfing. He was on the golf course.
Joe said changing Rask was a great call. The rookie had an unbelievable regular season. And it changes the whole mindset for the crew. I hope he starts game six. No, you don't need a rookie in there for game six with everything on the line. Two, if you need to pull your all-everything goaltender to get Brad Marchand and
first line's
Bergeron.
Unbelievable. It's not the first line. That's the problem.
Well, then I'm not worried about lines four.
What about 2, 3, and 4?
Rich,
they
I can't pull my goaltender for that reason. What is wrong with you?
The reason they lost that game last night was partly because Tuukka wasn't very good. But how about taking stupid-ass penalties that led to 3 goals, one of which was a ridiculous call by the ref. The other two I agreed with.
Bruce Cassidy really, really questioning the officiating.
I mean, the same calls go against us. So it's not like I'm sitting there going, well, every call against us sucks. It's not true. It's just the end of the day, the similar plays, they need to be penalized on those plays. But like I said, I think they've done a great job selling that narrative that, you know, they're clean. They play hard, hard brand of hockey, love the way they play, but they commit as many fractions as we do, trust me. So it's just a matter of calling them. So, you know, that's the part that I guess gets frustrating, but you play through it.
He got fined $2,500.
$25,000. Easy there, big boy.
$25,000.
What were the shots on goal, Rich? Look that up real quick.
Okay, hang on.
It was like 40, I want to say like 45 to... What time did...
Well, he gave up 4 goals on 16 shots. You just can't do that.
Well, it was 5 goals on 19 shots at one point. And okay, I understand that, but I'm not pulling my goaltender when the score's 4-2. When I have a rookie as his backup, when I know my team could rally.
But aren't you considering the possibility that maybe he was banged up?
Let me ask
and
you,
that was causing
oh, no,
the
no,
goals
no, no.
to go
he,
in?
Okay, if the score was 4-4, do you think he would have been pulled?
Of course not.
Why?
Nope, he had just given up 4 goals on 12 shots, Arne. You got to get him out of there.
I just asked you, though, if the score was 4-4, would he have been pulled? You said no.
No, he wouldn't.
So
I think they would have stayed with him.
Wouldn't have made a difference if you're up 4-0 or losing
4-0.
Right,
and then you give up 2 more goals because your goalie is injured, and that makes a difference. I understand
that. Kevin said it's absolutely right move. Tuukka let in 4 goals on 16 shots.
And you notice he didn't take him out after the 4th goal on 12 shots. He waited till the end of the period to lessen the blow.
Well, you want to make a statement. Then make a statement,
boy. Right, no, you don't make a statement by yanking Tuukka Rask, who is almost single-handedly at times gotten you to
but
this
you
point.
Did.
You yanked him at the end of the period.
Oh, what? They're both crappy.
Still yanked him.
You still yanked him, Rich.
So that's like you got to find. What about the angle that he's rallying the troops?
That's like your girlfriend said, "Well, I won't break up with you before Valentine's Day. I'll wait till after Valentine's Day." What the hell kind of what kind of thinking is that?
There is a big difference between being publicly embarrassed in front of your home crowd
I don't care.
And by being yanked after a fourth goal.
If you're giving up four goals on 12 shots or 16 shots, then you should be publicly embarrassed. But I would have kept him in.
You think his mindset would be good if Cassidy had yanked him out after the fourth goal and everybody booed him as he went off and said, oh, here goes Tuukka again.
You think his mindset was good after they yanked him after the second period?
No, but it was a lot better. You don't agree with that? What about your son? Has he ever given up 10 goals in a period and they didn't take him out till the end of the period?
Swayman looked like a deer in the headlights out there.
He gave up one goal, made a couple of nice saves.
He only got a couple of them. There was only like three, four shots on him in the third period.
No, I understand. They dominated the game and they took some stupid penalties.
Rich, that's going to cost them the series, was that stupid move of pulling Tuukka.
They were down 4-2.
And they scored four goals.
Yes, but see, that's circumstantial. You're just taking something. We've had this discussion on the show.
I'm giving
you're just
facts,
making an
though.
Assumption that if Tuukka stayed in, they would have scored those goals.
I'm giving you a fact that the score was 4-2 and the Bruins scored four goals. Okay, that's a fact. That's not disputable. No. That's not up for debate, Rich. Not debatable.
Changing Rask was a great call, Joe, in Burlington. The rookie had an unbelievable regular season and changes the whole mindset. See, that's what I'm talking about. You put in another goalie, a hot young rookie who has had a great year when he's been in there. Doesn't that change things a little
bit? That's like me saying.
And it did. They scored two goals.
And so if the Celtics are down by 10 with 5 minutes left of the game, I'm going to say, you know what? Pull a Tatum and Brown. Let's get the team all. Or you know what? The Buccaneers are down at halftime. I'm going to pull Brady. You want me to do that?
No, that's ridiculous.
No, it's the same thing.
You seem to think 4-2 is the same. No, there's a huge difference in the mindset between 4-4 and 4-2.
So Tampa's down 28-7 at halftime. I'm going to pull Tom Brady.
No, because Tom Brady has gotten you all that. No, I understand.
Oh, and what has Tuukka got you?
No, four goals on 12 shots. I don't need to say anything else. He was terrible.
Okay, well, I'm going to agree with you there.
But I agree with you that he needs to start tomorrow without question.
If he is going to start tomorrow, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. All right, 802-655-6672. We'll come back more on the games, more on what we didn't even get to Montreal with the sweep over Winnipeg. We'll get to that also. We got Gone But Not Forgotten. You're in the huddle. What a 1 point to the game.
Hey, it's Arnie, Rich, and TJ from The Huddle, and we have a confession to make.
I'm a meathead.
I'm a meathead, too.
We're all meatheads, because it's summertime, and nothing is better than McKenzie Country Classics on the grill.
I'm downright addicted to McKenzie Natural Casing Hot Dogs.
The grillin' and alfresco sausage and brats.
Hey, don't forget my favorite switchback switch brats, available only from McKenzie.
Admit it, you're a meathead, too. Listen this Wednesday at 4:45 to The Huddle for a shot to be our meathead of the week.
And you'll win the ultimate grilling package from McKenzie worth $50.
We're meatheads.
We love McKenzie Country Classics. Look for them at your local grocer.
And don't miss The Huddle weekdays from 4 to 6 on 101.3 The Game.
Arnie.
We want a trip to Micronesia.
Rich.
That story never gets old, even though you tell it every day.
And TJ.
You want on the Newlywed Game?
The Huddle is on 101.3 The Game.
You know, I have to go back a little bit on my text, but intern 11 texted in.
Oh.
And he said, apologize to the people in Winnipeg. And then the very next one was, intern 11, don't worry, it's not your fault. I'm like, are they reading our text or something like that? No, I'm serious. I don't know if you could find it, Rich. Because people don't understand, we get a lot of text.
No, but I do notice that as soon as he started chiming in and getting his picture up in front of everybody in the downtown arena there, all of a sudden the Jets couldn't do anything.
Here, number 11, tell the listeners in Winnipeg I'm sorry, as Arnie would say, I'm intern jinx. And right after that, right the next one, you couldn't even time it, but you couldn't time it if you wanted to, Rich, said, Matt from Winnipeg, intern 11, it's not your fault Jets lost. Having no fans caught up with the team, we will reload. Canada won the World Hockey Championship yesterday, and we're getting our top prospect next season.
There you go.
I mean, so they're clearly back to back, Rich.
One at 4:39, and the next one was at 4:39.
You couldn't plan it out because there's so many texts that come in. If I said, Rich and I send the text right now, we wouldn't be able to know if we could get them back to back.
And then right back to all the sleeping on the grass.
Oh, I love that.
At least we have one little break.
Consultant Sam in Plattsburgh. Rich now stands for really intoxicated car hobo.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And another one from Winnipeg. Love the huddle. It's so, and glad it's growing. Last Friday in the WB, it was the number three show.
Wow.
Monday's ratings had an average signal connection of approximately 54,000.
What does that mean? We have 54,000 people listening?
Yes.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Outstanding. Even without hockey, it's a great target audience. Maybe it's Vermont. People compare it to their own summer lake cottage town.
Yeah, a lot of people say that about Burlington.
What, that
it's like a summer lake cottage town.
Yeah, yes. We're a vacation destination, no doubt about that.
It's a place where you can, like, sleep on the grass. Right.
Let's get to Gone But Not Forgotten. Let's go ahead and do that now. Let's do it
It's Tuesday, so it's time for Gone But Not Forgotten. Thanks to Elmwood Menier Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Burlington.
All right, I want to start with Edward the Black Prince.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah, him.
You don't know Edward the Black Prince?
Yeah.
I don't, no.
No, it's, no, I'm not being racist. That's his name.
Okay.
He died in 1376.
Oh, yeah, him.
I can't believe you didn't study about him.
But we probably did, but I was asleep in history class.
He's probably sleeping on the grass.
English knight and heir to King Edward III dies of dysentery.
Exciting.
You know what that is?
Something bad.
It's the squirts, really bad.
Yeah, it's like having dying of diarrhea.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but he's 46 years old, and he passed away from that. He must have had it really bad. And then I got a couple of other ones.
Thanks for bringing that one up.
Thomas Paine. Remember Thomas Paine?
Yep. Wrote Common Sense.
There you go. Wow!
Who?
Look at you. I never would have guessed that you would have figured that out. Because you're from Jericho.
No.
Who's Thomas Paine? I thought.
See, responsible for the revolution.
Look at that, Rich.
The revolution what?
The
New England Revolution?
No. He was responsible for getting the Prince colonists riled up enough to take on the British in the Revolutionary War.
I used to literally sleep through science class, sort of like Saturday night.
They say common sense is the single document.
Common sense. Go ahead, Rich. What did
something that we lack?
Yeah, that you guys lack. Rich, what did you have?
I have actually a serious one. Jim Fossil
died. Yes, I saw that.
Of course, he was the guy who guaranteed a playoff bid late in the 2000 season. And
71 years old or 70?
He was 71.
Wow.
His son, teams coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, confirmed the death to the LA Times.
Wow.
Yeah, he was only 71. He was the 1997 NFL Coach of the Year. Finished 58-53-1, 2-3 in the postseason. He got to the Super Bowl in February of 2001, and that was the year they got clobbered by the Ravens. I think it was 34-7. So Jim Fossil did it, 71.
By the way, Javier and Sable said, Gone But Not Forgotten, all the empty beer bottles that led the rich sleeping in the grass that night.
I was in Sable today.
Yeah, were you?
Yeah. Yeah, I had a nice long Uber trip.
They have delis there. You need to bring me a black and white cookie.
I don't know. I know they have bridge construction that I sat through for about a half an
hour.
Wow.
TJ, what do you got?
My property tax bill.
Oh, wow.
My delinquent property tax bill. Gone, but not forgotten. Paid it today. All caught up.
So they were going to take your house away like they repoed his car?
Yeah, kind of.
In the back of a flatbed. Yeah. Hey, there goes his car.
I don't think they're putting my house on a flatbed, but... I was in a danger zone, and you know, we got it all caught up and taken care of.
Bunch of outlaws on this show. Arnie, you seem like the clean living one. I never thought I'd say that.
Yeah, because my mother-in-law has money. Otherwise, I'd be as poor as everybody else. All right, you want to get in for a tire text line, 802-655-6672. By the way, my mother-in-law is not coming for the summer, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
This just in.
Well, I convinced her that if something goes wrong, we have no doctors here, and she wouldn't be able to seek medical help.
We have no doctors here?
Yeah, not in Vermont. There's none.
That's too bad. Yeah. Rich was kind of looking forward to having a designated driver.
TJ will tell you what's trending. We'll come back for the Power Hour. Start things off with TC, Tom, Karen. You're in the huddle. What do I point to the game?
What shall we talk about?
You're listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Matt Schneiderman of the Athletic says that the Packers would trade Rodgers if they truly believed he was truly committed to never playing for them again. They're not trading him. They're not moving on. The bluff has been called. Now the only decision is he going to hold on and keep throwing in chips to the bitter end, or is he just going to play for another day?
The Doug Gottlieb Show.
Doug Gottlieb. Weekday afternoons at 3 on 101.3 The Game.
101.3, The Game. In the car, on your computer, on your phone, on your Amazon Echo, and video streaming on Twitch. There's always a way to listen to the show.
I think you might want to listen.
It's The Huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. What a 1.2 day game. It is the Power Hour, the show. Mere moments away from TC, Tom, Karen. We'll talk to him. Rich, you were saying that you want to go to Washington.
I want to go. What? I want to go to Washington?
Yes.
Why?
Because
Washington, Vermont is a nice little town.
No, no, Washington, the state of Washington.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
Because they're giving away free marijuana cigarettes for vaccination. It's called a joint for a jab. A joint for a jab, Rich.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
To get vaccinated,
Yes.
In Virginia, they're giving away pickup trucks and shotguns.
No. But that is for a lottery. Yeah. This is to everybody who gets a shot. A joint for a jab is what they're calling it.
That's hilarious.
You didn't know? You didn't read that one?
No, and why are you saying that would be me? That would be one of my intern 420.
Intern 12. He'd go with you. But
no.
A joint for a jab.
So seriously, in Virginia, they're giving away, for COVID shots, they're giving away pickup trucks and shotguns.
But not to everybody.
No, but it's like a raffle.
Yeah.
You know?
What a country.
But everybody gets a joint.
Brought to you by stereotypes, I guess. I don't know.
Everybody gets a joint, though. Everybody.
What's a joint?
So there you go, Rich. Luke said, the last person I heard it called marijuana cigarette was my grandmother.
Yes.
Easily 25 years ago. Thank you, Luke.
I haven't even heard joint recently.
Well, that's the name of their program. It's called a joint for a jab.
Yeah, well, no, it fits in well with the word jab.
Yeah,
it works.
That's
memorable.
Works with it. Yeah, go with it.
Yes. Sort of like the...
What do you want to say? Get a shot for marijuana?
No,
like, come on. What is wrong with you?
It's like click it or ticket.
Yeah,
and you try to make up silly things to try to make people remember them.
I thought that was interesting that they were giving that away.
Yeah, Luke says that doesn't mean you're not hip, Arnold.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to tell you how the state of Vermont went out of its way to stick it to me. I'll get to that.
Wow.
Story. Yeah, the whole state did. Very upsetting.
Really? So between him and his
property tax. You told me you read about this story about me getting stuck to by the state.
I can't wait to hear it.
You read it on the air.
Yeah, but I can't remember 5 minutes ago.
I have the story here. We're waiting for TC. You want me to give you part of it right now?
Sure.
Vermont cities and towns are now going to, they received $1 billion.
Oh, yeah.
From the state government. So now we're trying to decide how to spend the money, but you can't spend it on roads or bridges. And everybody knew I wanted to buy a bridge. I wanted to build a bridge.
Or, I don't know, pave something, anything.
$1 billion and we can't get new roads and bridges out here. Unbelievable.
When it comes to the Red Sox and Bruins, we have plenty of questions. And this guy has plenty of answers. It's Tom Karen.
He's the best, man. Love you guys.
In the huddle on 101.3, The Game.
All right. We go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, it's our Nesson Insider. It's TC. TC, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are we doing, guys?
No. You can't pull Tuukka Rask. You wouldn't have pulled him at 4-4.
Ridiculous.
I don't believe that. Oh, he was ailing a little bit. He started before. He's going to start after. You don't pull him to make a point. That
Wrong.
Cost him the game. Mistake.
Wrong.
Mistake. TC, what do you think?
It cost him the game. How about 4 goals on 16 shots cost him the game?
Exactly.
I mean, here's the thing, okay? So what was that, the third period, right? You think about the third period. I think the Bruins, and I have to go back and look because I'm knee-deep in the Red Sox here, but I think it was 18-3 the Bruins outshot them in the third period. So I think it's safe to say the message was received by the rest of the team. And sometimes, I know you're a goalie dad, but sometimes you change a goalie to light a spark under the team, not to get better goaltending. Sometimes it's as simple as that. I need to do something to send a message. Well, whatever he did, it sent a message. Now, Swayman let in 1 goal on 3 shots, and they ended up losing by 1 goal. I get it, okay? But I'm not sure they play half as well in that third period if he doesn't deliver the message, and he did it by benching Rask.
But, TC, you would never send the message by saying, You know what? I'm going to send the message to my team. I'm pulling Mookie Betts out of the lineup. Or I'm sending a message last 5 minutes of the game. I'm pulling Jaylen Brown and Tatum out of the lineup. You never do that in any other. I'm down by 28-7.
No, you do it. No, Tom Brady. You do it in other sports. You do it with a pitcher. Sometimes, I mean, you yank a pitcher even if you think, you know, but there's still time left. I mean, again, you go the other way, right? You leave Pedro Martinez in, right? You do things sometimes because you believe that is your best chance to win. And I do think there's a parallel to be drawn there. But I think that was as much a message to the entire team. And make no mistake, it's because Rask wasn't playing well.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But the message was sent to the team that you know, you guys are underachieving. I got to do something. And it almost worked.
And he almost, Tom, sounded like he was saying that Tuca wasn't 100%. What exactly does that mean? If he's hurting, do you want 70% of Tuca Rask starting game six, or do you want 100% of Jeremy Swayman?
Well, first of all, he is hurting. I mean, we know that. He didn't practice with the team yesterday in the morning. He came out, took some shots, and then went back in the dressing room and didn't even go out there for the morning skate. So that is, you know, he's hurting. We've known that for 2 weeks. Cassie's been telling us he's been hurting ever since he bent over and came off the ice with the sore back. He hasn't been 100%. And so we know that, but to answer your question, yes. I don't want 100% of Jeremy Swayman in a game six because I think the kid's up for it. I really do. But I'm afraid of what it means if they lose that game and now he's got to hear that for the offense. I want this guy to ride in on his horse next year and be the goalie of the future with no baggage.
Hey, Tom, Bruce Cassidy went after Barry Trotz yesterday and really just saying, have some respect for Patrice Bergeron. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, and that was to the officials as well because they were following Trotz's advice and calling it a lot closer, a lot tighter in the face-off circle. Yeah, I mean, the whole coaching back and forth, you know, first Trotz says that, the problem I have with what Trotz said is just that he used the word cheat. That's what gets everybody upset. Even though in hockey we understand cheating on a face-off just means you're trying to get an edge. There's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, it's not like we're not talking about doctoring a baseball. You're talking about, you know, cheating. In other words, either not pulling in too far, or not getting your stick on the ice in time. All those little things that go into the art of winning a face-off. And so he calls him out there, and then, you know, understandably, after the game, Cassidy's upset, got fined $25,000 today for his comments, and then, you know, drops the New York Saints, which I thought was pretty funny. I like this stuff. I think this is great. Two coaches, you know, Cassidy's deflecting attention away from his team, which is a smart move after that performance, and he's you know, trying to put the league on guard that, you know, let us play a little bit here. We get too many penalties. Let us play our game before you blow your whistle every 2 seconds.
Okay, then simple question then on the refs. Why? There's always a reason why. Why were they bad then? You know, they're anti-Bruins. They're anti- I don't know.
Nah, I don't know that they were bad. I do think, I think there was some inconsistency. I think the Islanders have a reputation of being a team that isn't penalized. They were the second least penalized team in the NHL during the regular season. And Trotz is recognized as one of the great coaches in the game right now. So I do think those guys get a little bit of an advantage. And I do think, you know, that we know that Marchand's always had a reputation. Some of that spills over on the rest of the team. I don't know why, but I would agree with Cassidy that I would say it was probably 60-40 tilted against the Bruins as far as what they were calling. And you think with home ice, it would go the other way.
Tom, doesn't it feel like all the same old things are, you know, rearing their ugly head in this series? The second, third, and fourth line isn't scoring. Hell, I think the first line at all the points last night. And Tuca has been inconsistent, especially last night. You start to think that at some point it's going to cost him here. I mean, we're one loss away from the season ending. What needs to happen tomorrow more than anything else to win that game?
Listen, I thought the Bruins dominated the game yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, the shots show it, right? The 25 shot edge, whatever it was. It was a 2-1 chances. The top three lines, 5-on-5, had a better than 2-1 margin in chances and shots, both on net and off net. I think they dominated. They gave up three power play goals on three power play shots.
Yep.
And guess who helps the power play? Kevin Miller and Brandon Carlo. the two defensemen who are out right now. And I was talking to Andrew Raycroft during the third power play, and he said both those guys would have probably been out there for the whole 2 minutes of the penalty kill at that point in the game. You know, so those are the guys you're missing. I think it's a fine line with Cassidy here where is it going to come back to bite you? Well, it came back to bite you last night. I think if I'm the coach of the Boston Bruins, I'm telling them, listen, you guys dominated them last night, but put one in the net, right? I mean, how many times have we seen it? You know, the one goes across the crease, across the goal mouth last night, and they come back the other way and score.
I know.
And then they miss a great opportunity, shoot it wide. They come Marshall. Back, you know, game. The other night on the island, Pasternak misses that one at the beginning of the game, and it ends up biting him in the backside. So I just, you know, you got to finish your chances. And this team has been better than that at finishing chances most of the year, and I think that's what bit him in the backside last night.
Well, you asked me as a goalie dad, the one thing that bothered me more than anything as a goalie dad, and it killed the Bruins, is when you have the puck and you can't clear it. And they get it and they end up scoring it. I always watch that. When my team can't clear it, I'm like, here it is. 30 seconds later, they still have the puck in the zone. And how many times did the Bruins have it where they couldn't clear it? I think that resulted in like three goals right there.
Well, I'll tell you this. And to me, this is at the root of it all. Watch the difference, the ferocity of the forecheck.
Yes.
The Islanders come in hard and they plaster the Bruins in the defensive end. I mean, the Bruins have all kinds of trouble getting the puck out. And some of it's self-inflicted, but a lot of it is because the tenacity of the forecheck of the Islanders. And I don't know about you guys, I don't see the same intensity on the forecheck from the Boston Bruins. I see a team that comes in and forechecks, but gives you space to make a pass, doesn't make you pay quite as physically as the Islanders make you pay. I just think that's a place where the Islanders have had an edge in this series, is their forecheck has created turnovers and stopped the Bruins from getting much sustained pressure on the other end of the ice.
2 weeks ago, we're having this conversation that, well, it was nice for the Canadians making the playoffs and all that, but they're going down. And I mean, can you explain to me what in the world they're... I mean, Carey Price is standing on his head, and boy, if they've been opportunistic.
Yeah, I flipped that on last night when I got home for the Red Sox game, and I was as surprised as anybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, for them to come all the way back, so what is it now? They were down 3-1,
yep.
So they've won seven straight.
Seven, yep.
I mean, it's absolutely incredible what they're doing. I feel bad for Claude Julien, it almost made last night worse. If you're a Bruins fan, didn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough you lost that game, and you're seething after the game. Then you're going to go watch the Canadians sweep their second-round opponent and go sit around and wait for their opponent. It is stunning what they are doing. They're on a magical run. We'll see if they can keep it going.
All right, TC, let's get over to some baseball. I got to tell you this first off. There's a major cheating problem in baseball, and people just don't care. Now umpires are going to check pitchers 8 to 10 times a game. Is it that bad? Is it that much cheating going on? We don't care. Or we just is oblivious to it.
You know, it's funny. This whole spin rate thing has really drawn more attention to that, right? It used to be that hitters and organizations almost encouraged the use of fine tar and things that allowed you to get a better grip on the baseball because it would give you better control. Nobody wanted to get hit in the head by a fastball. So the idea was, yeah, I don't mind about that. Now it's gone the other way where they've clearly been able to figure out, at least in the eyes of Major League Baseball, what to use and how to increase spin rate, increase break and loft on pitches. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. We've seen some minor leaguers get removed because of it, suspended because of it. In a year where, listen, the Bruins are going to play their 60th, the Red Sox are going to play their 61st game of the year tonight.
Yeah.
That's one game more than they played all of last year. So we've got pitchers now. I mean, Evaldi's already thrown more than he threw last year. Richard's thrown way more than he's thrown last year. Erod didn't throw a pitch last year. Pivetta was in the alternate training site, whatever the hell that is, most of last year. Perez is going to go past last year tonight when he makes his start. So you're going to have pitchers breaking down to begin with because they're throwing so much more than they did a year ago. And now if you start removing and suspending guys, it's going to have a dramatic impact to the game. So keep a close eye on this because it's going to impact the playoff race.
Wow.
I remember we talked about a couple weeks ago about how, well, they've got at Houston, then they've got at Yankees, then it's just real tough. More Houston, more Yankees, all kinds of good teams. Nothing but winning teams playing the Red Sox over the next 3 weeks, and it's going to be a telltale, you know, period of time. Well, they're 5-2 heading into tonight's game at Fenway with Houston, so all's well.
Yeah, well, I mean, they got it hand pretty good in Houston. You know, they scored four runs in the first three games of that series and lost three in a row before they finally came back and won the final game with Perez on the mound. And so, yeah, I mean, five-game winning streak, their second longest streak of the year. This weekend was as much a statement on what an absolute disaster the Yankees are right now as it was in how far the Red Sox have come. But make no mistake, that's a statement weekend. And if you can carry it in and win this series against the Astros, then the Blue Jays roll into town and you got a chance to add to your division record, which has been really good. You got bigger crowds at Fenway. Red Sox have been winning since the bigger crowds returned. They've won four in a row at Fenway. They've actually, at four games above 500, they've now got the best home field record in the American League East, which is crazy. No one's got a good home record. A lot of things trending in the right direction right now. The biggest thing for the Red Sox is the bullpen. You know, they went down to New York and out-bullpen the Yankees. You're not supposed to be able to do that. They got 11 2/3 strong innings out of the bullpen over the weekend. Last night, they pulled Pivetta early. He's not afraid to do it. Got 4 1/3 innings out of the bullpen. Five different guys, only gave up one run total. Bullpen this month has an ERA under 2. It's 1.69 in June so far.
Wow.
And this is, you know, I said if you can tread water, if you can go 500 or a little better through this gauntlet, you'll be in good shape. And to your point, they're doing better than that. And Houston is a formidable opponent. They got Michael Brantley back this week now. So they're even better than they were last week. But it's a little bit of revenge time here at Fenway.
TC, I saw that quote that was put out by Chris Sale where he says, when I'm throwing, I feel normal. I feel like I did when I was a kid. I feel like I'm starting to build up as a pitcher instead of rehabbing. What the heck does that mean?
Yeah, and just, you know, not to pat myself on the back. It was an answer to my question. I hope you appreciate that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was, you know, give a little credit to, you know, sometimes a good question leads to the good soundbite, all right? But, yeah, well, you know, because I asked him about Syndergaard. Like, everybody's talking about how far he's coming and everything. I was like, what if Syndergaard, when he got shut down, you guys were, like, within a month of each other on Tommy John, and he said, make no mistake, that rocked his world, you know, in Sale. Sale said, you know, when you hear that, your reminder of just, you know, how far you're coming, but how easily it can all go the other way. That's why I really got to limit my vision, as cliche as it is, one day at a time. Check off today's box. What do I need to accomplish today? It might be lifting. It might be running. It might be throwing. And then I asked him, you know, with all that in mind, have you been able to throw free and clear? And that's when he said, you know, I do. You know, he goes, I'm not thinking about the surgery. I'm throwing now like a pitcher. I'm not throwing like a guy who's just coming out of surgery and rehabbing. And, you know, Alex Cora said that his bullpen today was essentially a late January bullpen, but that would mean that he's about ready to start spring training. And if that's the case, I don't think it's 2 months because I don't think you need the full progression, but it's going to be, you know, I would think in the next couple of weeks, you'll see him get some sort of, maybe it's just live bullpen as the next one, a simulated game type thing. But then after that, then you start talking about, you know, maybe four starts. I still say sometime around the All-Star break makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, you come out of the All-Star break, maybe that mid-July 20th, 21st, 22nd run you got with Toronto there. Maybe that'll be the time you do it. That's still, you know, 6 weeks away, which seems about right to me. Might be a little longer, might be August. I know they're going to take their time because when he comes back, they wanted to get that ball and pitch like Chris Sale. And if he does, then all of a sudden, if this team has been treading water, you can do better than that down the stretch.
Yeah.
Tom, I got to ask you, it's Jersey Street, man. It's been a long time. It's got to be fun being right in the middle of that chaos, huh?
Yeah, of course, it's raining today, so I'm back in the studio. But, yeah, it's been, you know, we started it a couple weeks ago when it was cool to be back, but the crowd was small and there were no concessions behind us. Well, over Memorial Day weekend and then this past week, we're there with fans on the street, you know, buying a El Teante Cuban sandwich behind us. It was pretty wild to get that crowd in there. 25,000 the last couple of home games, about three times what they were getting before. Now, today, and again, the rain's going to impact everything again because there's a chance of rain. But today is the first day that season ticket holders are back in their seats. They didn't get them in April and May. And yesterday was the makeup of a May game, so they didn't have them. Those were just seats they sold.
Yep.
Now you're going to have all the season ticket holders back or people using their seats, but that's a big percentage of the ballpark, really. And so you should get up above that now and get into the 30s. And it's just every time they move it up a little bit, you see more emotion from the pitchers. You see the reaction from the fans. I thought it was great over the weekend when Yankee fans were chanting Mookie's better to Verdugo. I mean, that's the stuff we've been missing, you know. And, yeah. And I think this is a team that you're going to see now. It's a little bit of an emotional team. Verdugo's an emotional guy, plays with emotion. Kike Hernandez, Christian Arroyo. You know, a lot of these guys haven't been here and haven't been part of this with that intensity and with that emotion. And I think you're going to see a team that feeds off that. You know, Martin Perez loves the emotion, loves the fans. And, yeah, he'd been here for all of last year and a couple months this year. Tonight he takes the mound with a big crowd for the first time. I can't wait to see his reaction.
Clearly, Yankee fans aren't noticing that Mookie Betts is hitting 258 with absolutely no power.
Wow.
It is amazing. I mean, you'd never say this, but if you put their numbers straight up, you'd be, oh, Verdugo, you got the better deal.
Yeah.
And that's forgetting Jeter Down and Connor Wong, who are, you know, still on the horizon. Listen, I mean, we'll see. It's a long contract. I have a lot of faith Mookie Betts is going to be just fine. But there's no doubt. I mean, Verdugo has been a huge part of this Red Sox team this year, and he was their best player last year. He's their MVP in 2020, even though nobody paid attention. So, you know, listen, everybody was slamming Chaim Bloom before the season. And I've been saying the deal of Brandon Workman and Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree in exchange for Nick Pivetta, Connor Siebold, is going to go right up there with the Heathcliff Slocum for Jason Varitek and Derek Lowe deal.
Yep.
Okay, and you didn't get Heathcliff Slocum back, and the Red Sox got Brandon Workman back.
Right.
Wow. So, I mean, Chaim Bloom's been doing okay. Thank you very much.
Before we let you go, by the way, you said there's rain. We're going to have a rain out tonight? Or
oh,
what?
Arnie's all excited.
No, not a rain out, but we've got some stuff coming through. I'm sitting here looking at the tarp. Human tarp, so when that's on the field, I got to limber up and get loose and start talking.
Yeah,
so,
you should have seen Arnie's eyes light up when he heard the word rain from you, so we might not have a show tomorrow.
Yeah,
so,
I got doubleheader tomorrow.
Because
you're playing a doubleheader. No, I think they'll get tonight in. Yeah. They might just be waiting around a little bit.
All right, you got it, TC. Always a pleasure, my friend. Take care. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, Tom Karen, our Nesson insider.
2-hour workday, and you're all excited.
Who knows?
Tom Karen here on The Huddle, brought to you by Catamount North. Our caps are tops. Give them a call, 879-7172. For over 35 years, Catamount North has specialized in meeting the needs of truck owners. Stop by. They're at 65 Dorset Lane in Williston.
They said Cora's the favorite right now for manager of the year for what he's done. That's only 60 games in, though.
Yeah, and the Giants manager for sure.
Yeah, it's been a good 61. I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you. I thought they'd be over 500, but I didn't see the way they play right now.
No, it's been a great run. Typical Boston, you know, fan with the glass half empty that I am. I just keep waiting for the pitching to fall apart, and it just isn't. It's just these Martin Perez and Garrett Richards and Nick Pivetta. Really?
All right. Also, I want to get to one thing because we're coming up on the break. Did you see what Wheaties is doing now, by the way?
No.
They are reviving, remember the old cereal box icons where they used to be? Remember,
athletes.
They used to be the big thing is I want to be on the cover of the Wheaties box.
Well, you could be after a performance last night in playing basketball.
Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce Jenner was on the Wheaties
box. Bruce Jenner,
yes. Remember that?
Yeah.
They're bringing back its 100th anniversary of Wheaties.
Yep.
And they're going to put famous athletes. What do you think the athlete they decided to put on the cover for the 100th anniversary?
Brian Hoyer.
You got it. Brian Hoyer. It was Brian Hoyer.
Michael
gave it away. No, not Michael Jordan.
Muhammad Ali.
Bingo.
It's got to be one of those two.
Why? Because, you know, some people, my dad loved Muhammad Ali, and he considered Muhammad Ali a draft dodger.
Mm. Oh, I know. There's
a lot of people. And yeah, Muhammad Ali denies now throwing his Olympic medal into the river or whatever.
No, there's no in between. No in between when it comes to opinions on him. You either love him or you couldn't stand him. But most people, I think his legacy has gone northward. Obviously what I mean is a positive way. In the last 20 years, but there was a time there where it was not the case.
Oh, he was certainly polarizing, no doubt about that.
Yeah. You should put Babe Ruth on it with him smoking a cigarette and eating some donuts.
Smoking a big cigar. Well, there could have been other people there could have been other people you could have put on that list too, but I don't know. Jackie Robinson?
Yeah, for
broke
sure.
Broke the color barrier.
I mean, cultural icons, you know, and that's what these people all were.
You could also put the best of each sport, made it a Mount Rushmore, instead of just one person, too. So
Dale Earnhardt.
No, you could put Gretzky, Jordan,
Dale Earnhardt.
Like that.
Yeah, he was a racer, right?
Yeah.
Matt and Grand Isle, Wheaties box cover, Rich passed out on a lawn.
Absolutely.
That's great.
But anyway, because they're bringing back, they're going old school. Pizza Hut is bringing back their 1990s pizza called The Edge. That debuted in 1997.
Yeah, delicious.
McDonald's bringing back their famous McRib sandwich.
Too bad there's no Pizza Hut to get the Edge at.
And McDonald's also bringing back the spicy chicken nuggets and the mighty hot sauce. And guess what else they're bringing back? And I used to live on this. I didn't even know it wasn't around anymore, but Hi-C Orange.
Oh, yeah, I saw the ad. Yeah, I saw the ad for it. Yeah.
And Taco Bell bringing back the Quesalupa. So I don't even know. And Burger King bringing back their French toast sandwich. I don't think I...
Anything in the Red Lobster there?
Where, no Red Lobster there. No Red Lobster.
I think there's one. There used to be one in Plattsburgh. Oh.
I love Red Lobster.
Oh, me too.
I'd go over there now.
Well, go ahead. I won't tell anyone.
I'll take my wife for her birthday.
There's a good idea.
If you didn't hear the beginning of the show, Beth, Arnie's wife, texted the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, and you're
salmon
going
patty.
To eat it.
No, I'm not going to eat
it. It's a frozen salmon burger.
That's why I stopped at McDonald's on the way home.
But it
every
was,
night.
What was the green in the salmon
mold.
Burger? Mold.
That's the mold, probably. She expects, there's nothing wrong with a little mold on your sandwich. She expects me to take her out for her birthday. I didn't get her anything yet.
And that was, what day, Thursday?
It's going to be Thursday.
And she's going to be 40 what?
29.
Okay.
29 again.
You know, a whole case of ramen is like $2.50.
Yeah. I might do that.
Believe me, I know.
She wants to go to someplace fancy, but I'm like, I'm not bringing my wallet. I'm going to bring $100.
Well, that'll get you one meal.
Well, there's like eight of us. No, I'm just kidding.
Take her to the poorhouse. You could pass out on the lawn.
So she made a reservation somewhere. So we'll see.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's if I can't get in with jeans and tennis shoes, then we're not going. All right, then we got to give Red Sox tickets to give away. What number what caller should we give it away to?
You decide. You're the boss.
Okay, what's the game so people know whether they can go or not?
It is June 11th, versus Toronto.
Okay, what day of the week is that? Today is the 8th, so it's
Friday. Yes, it's Friday.
So you have to be able to go to Boston on Friday.
Yes. If you can't go, don't try and win them. Because they end up
getting
wasted.
That's a Friday night tickets, baby. That's that's prime spot.
But you want to leave at like noon.
That's primo.
If you're doing a 9 to 5, it's not going to work.
That's primo tickets Friday night.
Absolutely. Against the Blue Jays, get to see Vladdy.
And the Blue Jays are playing hot, too.
Yep, they are.
All right, we'll give it to the 11th caller?
Sure.
All right, the 11th, that's for intern 11.
These are the bosses.
You just jinxed the whole game. You realize that.
I know that. I know that.
20 rows up from the visitor's dugout. Prime seats.
Luke said when you said Beth texted the nastiest thing you've ever seen, we thought that was a picture of Arnie in a Speedo. So they thought you were going to.
God.
All right. Don't call. TJ's not answering yet because we're still talking.
Well, but you got to call at some point.
But we're still talking.
Oh, I see. For several minutes.
Until we get off, then TJ could answer the phone.
So you're just going to let the phones ring?
No, okay.
The whole bank of phones are ringing.
The 11th caller.
There you go.
We'll get the tickets to the Red Sox game. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. The game.
In search of the ultimate challenges.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Not tradable. Untouchable.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
There is hope for everybody.
On 101.3. The Game. The car, the app, the online stream, and on your smart speaker. We're everywhere. With the best sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game. Moving along on a busy Tuesday. By the way, just a little bit of... Oh, do we have somebody on the... We got the winner?
Yeah, we have the winner on the line.
What's the winner's name?
Caller number 11 is Rob Sweet from Swanton.
Rob, are you there?
I am. How are you?
Congratulations, Rob.
Thank you.
Are you sure you're going to be able to go on Friday?
I am.
Nice. Who are you going to be taking to the game?
I don't know yet. I'm sure my wife won't want to go, which is probably the best. So, I'm sure I have plenty of friends that'll want another ticket.
I'll bet.
Oh, yeah, they're prime seats, too.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
All right,
we'll put you on hold. Get Rob's all his information.
Rob, we've already got you all squared away. We're
nice.
All set.
Thank you, Rob. Have fun. Enjoy it down there.
Love it when Swanton people win stuff.
OTAs were going on Aaron Rodgers didn't show up, so.
I know, that's all this station talked about all day today.
Yeah, I just wanted something that came in under the radar just to show you how things can go real bad on the first day of OTAs. Did you hear what happened to the 49ers?
No.
During their OTAs Monday, the 49ers, first of all, they lost their offensive lineman, Justin Scully, tore an ACL in his knee. First day of practice.
What did he do that
and then
tears
safety
an ACL?
Tavarius Moore tore his Achilles.
Oh, God.
And they're both going to be out for the year.
Wow.
And he's suing.
Who is?
The guy that's that tore his Achilles.
Tavarius?
Yeah. He's suing the team.
Oh, is that because that was the
what? Why is he suing
I have it
team?
Here somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think that's the one suing the team, though. Is he?
I think so. Yeah, hold on.
Lousy luck.
No, I thought that was a recent thing. So this is like recent, I thought. But anyway, it just goes to show you how it go from bad to worse. Really, boom, offensive lineman, boom, safety. Oh, what am I going to do now? Now you're going to go out and get some more players because Achilles and ACL,
right?
Yeah, you figure that out, big boy, huh?
Consultant Sam in Plattsburgh, man's greatest dilemma, which friend to give a ticket to a Red Sox game on a Friday night.
How much fun. And then you get to sleep over Friday night in Boston and come back on Saturday.
He's going
to
be hearing from friends he didn't even know he had. Yep.
And stay in a nice hotel.
Are we paying for that, too?
No,
you're paying for that, right?
No, them get their own hotel. But can you imagine going down, go to the game, get yourself a nice hotel?
There's a nice Motel 8 in Dorchester.
Is there any bars that are open late in Boston that
you might be able to go
to the game, Rich? Is there anything open after 10 o'clock?
Well, the Cask and Flagon will be open till the wee hours.
Is that the only one, I guess?
No, but it's a great spot in Kenmore Square.
They all have to have nice grassy areas, though, so Rich can pass out.
I would not sleep in that parking lot. I'd never make it till midnight.
That is so funny. That is so funny. All right, so congratulations. And by the way, the fight, remember the Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather fight?
Yes. Massive cash grab.
They say Floyd made $130 million.
It's just wrong.
Yeah. Did you hear what I said? $130 million.
He better give some of that to charity. Jeez.
$130 million.
Jeez, we could pave the streets of Burlington with that money.
Do you think we've learned our lesson with the Paul brothers fighting stuff? Look, this is all.
Because if they do it again, I'll watch it again.
No, you're not. You're not going to watch it. You're not going to fall for it again.
I'm part of the problem.
Yes.
Like the guy went eight rounds with Floyd Mayweather.
That's so insane.
And he got hit at least one time that I recall.
130. Oh, by the way, did you hear the controversy in the fight?
No.
Yeah, that Mayweather held him up.
Held him up because he rocked him with a punch and he was going to dread that. Now, you probably say, why did he hold him up? There's reports that Floyd Mayweather bet a boatload of money that the fight would go the distance.
Wow.
I didn't even know that's legal.
Wrongdoing in boxing? No way.
No, but is that legal? Can you just go up to the casino and say, I'm going to bet that the...
I don't know.
So he probably bet he made $130 million. Can you imagine betting $100 million and all you have to do is take a few punches from a YouTube star?
Right. Did he come out and say that he did that on purpose?
No, that was being... What, that he held him up?
Yes.
He's not reporting that.
No, I bet he isn't.
They were putting that on all the sports shows, the TV shows, and then they showed a highlight of him allegedly... holding him up.
Right.
Now we don't have, but we don't have any proof that he bet on him. That the bet was the fight was going to go to the distance, though.
Well, there are reports that Mayweather's compensation for the match ahead of time was
$30 million.
No, but it was persistent on the match going the distance. In other words, if he went the distance with Logan Paul, he would get paid more. Okay. In other words, the whole thing is a fixed deal.
I thought it was because he bet on it was going the distance. And I'm like, can you do that? Isn't that illegal?
Here we go.
It makes sense, though, now.
Now, here's the deal, though. Do you know who Ricky Hatton is?
I've heard the name.
All right. He was Ring Magazine's 2005 Fighter of the Year.
Yes.
He's saying, this is S-boxing, rhymes with hit. Okay?
Yeah.
All right? You can live with an exhibition like Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, two legends of the sport, potentially greatest fighter of all time, who is recently retired, now goes up against a YouTube star and goes the distance. Come on, that's not believable. That's not believable.
Yeah, he could have knocked him out, I'm guessing.
I mean, he could have crushed the guy.
In 1 minute, he could have.
Though Floyd did get hit and got mad at one point.
Yes.
I was on the air when this started. I was given, like, play-by-play.
Is that legal?
No, but you know
what? It isn't.
It's not a real... This was only an exhibition. So, you know, I'm like, what the hell? Who's going to say anything?
And here's the thing. Now we're at this point where money means more than legacy, which is sad for the sport of boxing.
$130 million? Yeah, I would take the money over legacy.
Well, but it's sad for boxing, is it not?
I mean, who cares?
Well, it seems
like...
It's
not the Floyd Mayweather.
I'll tell you, the people who have followed boxing for years, and I mean lifetimes, and there are a lot of them, were just completely embarrassed by this whole thing. But a lot of people said it was a somewhat entertaining thing. And if you took it on the surface for what it was, which was just pure entertainment, then it was something that was all right.
Sam said, although Paul looked better than I thought he would. Yeah, he did look a little bit better.
He will look good when Mayweather's not, but when he's dancing around the ring, when he knows he's not going to throw a punch that's going to hurt him, when the whole thing's fixed ahead of time. Yeah,
Sam says, I bet Floyd helped him. Didn't he knock out McGregor? He doesn't get too many knockouts, but when you're fighting an amateur out there, you would certainly expect that. By the way, what did you think about that story about that umpires are going to check major league pitchers 8 to 10 times a game?
I hate it because it just makes the game longer. Anything that makes baseball longer, I don't like.
Don't you hate cheating?
Yes, but... okay, see, that's a good point. But if the problem I had was 8 to 10 times, did you say?
Yes, but they change pitchers a lot, right, too,
yeah.
So...
I look at that and say, oh, there's another 4 or 5 minutes on the game.
Yeah, but I look at that and say there must be a reason behind it, so they know that something's going on and they're not telling us. And there's cheating going on rampant.
And there's going to be so much of it from the opposing team when the pitcher's out on the mound. You can't tell me they're not going to constantly send people out to check.
Once,
you know,
you
a guy like
once.
Jake DeGrom when he's throwing a one hitter with 12 strikeouts.
You'll check on him once. They'll check on him before the inning, but they'll check on pitchers 8 to 10 times a game, which goes to show that there's some serious cheating going on.
Yep.
And guess what? People don't care. But you see, it's resulting in strikeouts. At least we think it is.
Yeah, they'll start caring when every game is 1-0.
And it's destroying the game because nobody's paying to see these guys strike out 18 out of 36 times or something like that.
Right. By the way, Nikola Jokic just named MVP for the NBA.
He was like the 1-17 favorite.
Well, he just won.
Yeah. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
He had 26-11-8. That's for a 41st overall pick.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you could find some value somewhere, no doubt about that. That's absolutely insane.
Denver Nuggets are very much still in it.
What's happening with your Bruins in the game number 6?
I don't know. You tell me.
They're going to win.
They've
got
to get something
six.
From the other lines besides the top line. As TC brought up, it's a good point. I mean, the second and third line got a lot of shots on goal last night, but they've got to start converting. I mean, they were just blitzing the Islanders in that second period.
You know, Swayman only got 3 shots on goal.
Yeah, they dominated
the game.
And they
were very weak.
But you just cannot commit 3 or 4 penalties in a row like they did. Granted, the refs, I thought, blew the one. Who was it? Was it Grizzlick? It was somebody they called slashing, and it barely touched the guy.
I would have taken my chances that Tuukka would make the 3 stops in the third period.
Yep.
And that you would have been 4-4 going into overtime.
You're making an assumption based on another player being in the game.
But Rich, you don't think we do that all the time in sports? If so and so is the quarter, the most popular player in football is always the backup quarterback.
So you're saying if Tuukka Rask had remained in the game, the Bruins would have won that game.
No, it would have gone into overtime.
So in other words, Tuukka guaranteed for 20 minutes, despite the fact that he couldn't stop anything,
there was only 3
would
shots.
Have not given up any goals.
There was only 3 shots.
Okay, but how do you know that's going to be the case?
I'm hoping he made the one save that Swayman didn't make.
I mean, he only...
The one save that Swayman didn't make.
You're just...
What?
We spent the first 20 minutes. Oh, no, not the first 20, but an entire segment on this.
You don't think I would have said the same thing? Like, so LeBron James has to take the last shot.
You can't just assume that the Islanders would have had 3 shots only because Tuukka Rask was in the net.
No, but we say it about basketball. LeBron passes off to somebody else. They miss the shot. No. We go, LeBron, you got to shoot that. Well, there's no guarantee LeBron's going to make it either.
Well, he had 12 saves and gave up 4 goals.
Right. And that's horrible. I understand that.
I have no problem with putting Swayman in that situation. But I think we do agree that I think Tuukka absolutely should be in goal tomorrow. Do you agree with that?
Well, you said he's hurt. How dare you put him in
goal? No, I'm saying if he's hurt, no. Don't put him out there. Do you want 75% of Tuukka Rask or 100% of Jeremy Swayman?
Everybody's hurt, okay?
Okay, but is he hurt to the point where it's affecting his ability to play goal?
You're giving him an excuse when you say, oh, he was hurt. That's why he gave up the 4 goals yesterday.
Well, it's always something with Tuukka.
If he's hurt, then don't play him then, you know?
Look, I love how great he's been, but man, here we go
again. This may affect him for next year. They may not want to bring him back next year. This is the end of his contract.
Well, you saw what Swayman did in the regular season. But that's a big gamble. You can't guarantee a 22-year-old kid's going to just step in and be a star.
Well, maybe you sign up a veteran as a backup so you don't have to...
Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
802-655-6672. We'll come back. Scraps, last story. Standing both or next, you're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game.
101.3 The Game. Powered by fans.
Listen to this.
Dan Patrick from 9 till noon. Colin Cowherd from noon to 3. Doug Gottlieb at 3. Arnie Spanier and Rich Haskell take you inside the huddle from 4 to 6. At 6, it's Champlain Valley Game Night with TJ Michaels. That's one tough schedule. Powered by fans. 101.3 The Game.
We are Fox.
Arnie.
I think I would have put a camera in my bedroom and people could watch me sleep.
Rich.
Let's see, where on earth would I least want a camera? In Arnie's bedroom.
I'd sleep with no top on.
And TJ.
There's a visual that's going to take me 7 hours to get over.
It's The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle, 101.3 The Game. Finishing things off on this busy Tuesday out there. Real quick, Steph Curry.
Yep.
Put an Instagram tweet or whatever the hell you want to call it of his brother, Seth Curry.
Oh, yeah. Something to do with the 76ers. What
right.
was it?
And Daryl Morey retweeted the picture and put, join him.
Oops.
$75,000 fine.
Boom.
75G, baby.
That's like a whole day at work for him.
75,000. You shall not tweet or text or Instagram yep. or do anything like
or
that.
Or insinuate in any way that you want that player.
Rich, the 20th. So what day is June 20th? Do you know off the top of your head?
Today's what? Today's the 8th.
So June 20th is a Sunday. Which
yes,
will be
it is.
The first day there'll be a concert back at Madison Square Garden, and it's going to be the Foo Fighters. So.
Oh, of course it will.
What does that mean, of course?
Is Dave Grohl on every single television show?
There yes. Yes.
You're not a...
Do you have Dave? No, I absolutely like them. I like Nirvana. Dave Grohl is a cool guy. But every time I turn my TV on, there he is. He likes to do interviews. There's no question about it. But he's an incredibly talented guy.
You don't seem surprised by that, so.
No, I almost predicted you'd say Foo Fighters. It just seemed like it was appropriate.
And Jeff Bezos, he has booked a seat into space.
Right, for his divorce party.
He's gonna die up there.
Must be great to have billions of dollars that you can get away from your divorce.
Yeah, by just going into space.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave the world. I'm going to leave the atmosphere because of that. So, unbelievable. All right, let's get the last story, Stanley, because we got a bunch of those.
Wacky or insightful? We've saved the best for last. It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 The Game.
All right, I want to start with some good news. Liver surgeon Simon Bramhall.
Oh, I'm listening.
Do you know him? He's a liver surgeon.
No, but I'd like to.
Yes.
I may need him in a couple of years.
He's concerned about you sleeping on the grass.
World-renowned liver surgeon. He did get his... He is now allowed to practice again. Surgery.
So awesome.
Yes.
You have his number there?
Do you want to know why they did take away his license for a while?
No.
When he was, doing surgery, he put his initials on two patients' livers. He carved it in there.
Yeah, but what's
wrong with
that?
Yeah.
You would have done the same thing.
Arnie was here or something like
that?
Yeah. A.S.
Does that have any effect on liver function?
I don't know, but I don't want his initials carved into my liver. The medical, agency, they frown upon that.
Nobody,
they don't allow that.
Nobody's putting their initials on my liver, I can guarantee it.
They couldn't get into your liver.
I am going to go to my second job after this, so I'm going to go over to McDonald's.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, McDonald's, okay.
I do work at McDonald's. Well, kind of. I'm like a...
Taste tester?
Well, no. What I do is... thank you very much.
I mean, look at you.
I go there and I buy chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Because you heard about that chicken nugget that got sold on eBay?
Oh, yeah.
$100,000.
$100,000. The chicken nugget is in the shape of a Among Us character.
the hell's that?
An online multiplayer video game that gained massive popularity during the COVID with almost 500 million monthly users at one point.
Oh my gosh.
Mm. Hey, you want to really impress me? Show me a chicken nugget that's made out of chicken.
Yeah. $100,000 for a chicken nugget.
For a shaped chicken nugget.
It looks like a tooth is what it looks like.
I wouldn't know what it was, even if it was right in front of me.
How do you, honey, I spend $100,000 on dinner.
No, you
Can
know
you
who will buy
coming
it?
Coming over and somebody eating the chicken nugget?
And now it just rots.
You know who will buy it?
Bezos?
One of those second-rate, the Vegas casinos will buy it, and they'll put it on display.
It's a chicken nugget.
I mean, in a week, that thing's going to look worse than tonight's supper at your house, which is
a
salmon
chicken
burger.
No. It's a McDonald's product. It'll be good for 10, 12 years.
There were 184 placed bids. The Nuggets was first listed for 99 cents. After receiving no bids for 2 days, the Nugget received an initial bid for $14,900. That kicked off the frenzy. Bidding ended Thursday after the chicken nugget reached a final bid of $99,997. The final auction winner will receive the sole nugget, frozen, air-sealed, to ensure freshness.
Well, all right. Well, I would hope so for that price. TJ just said two of the funniest things he's ever said. Yeah. You're on fire, says Luke in Burlington.
Wow.
Thank you. Be
you
here
say?
All week. Try the veal.
Try the veal.
Try the salmon burger. Are you really going to eat that thing?
No. There's no salmon burger in my future. I promise you that. I'd rather eat the $100,000 chicken nugget.
Luke says, for real, you could find a chicken nugget under Rich's old car seat, and it would still look exactly the same.
His keys are probably right next to it, too.
You're a funny guy.
$100,000 chicken nugget. Damn.
Mm.
That's more than your condo and your car.
That's for sure.
So you got to go to McDonald's and order chicken nuggets. Maybe you'll find one that looks like
I'm going to have a nice ballpark hot dog in about 20 minutes. We got a game tonight.
Lake Monsters ready to roll.
They are back to game
six. Keep it on the down low here.
Is that the end of the show?
Well, pretty much.
Did you not want me to say the Lake Monsters are playing tonight? They are playing the New Britain Bees.
Yeah, first time since 88.
Oh, yeah. What was that interesting stat you came? I was impressed.
Don't ask me to repeat it. I read it on
the
Lake Monsters.
No, it was the first time because the New Britain Red Sox were a double-A team of course, Boston. And we had the Vermont Mariners. So they played each other a lot.
Short show for TJ. So Champlain Valley game not only 10 minutes long.
Yeah, we're going to talk about we're going to talk about the Paul Mayfield thing. And if you buy another pay-per-view, you're worthless.
That's me. That's going to be Rich. What do we get on the radio, my friend?
Astros, Red Sox, pregame in 15 minutes right here.
All right. For TJ, for Rich, I'm Artie. Enjoy Champlain Valley game night. Then Red Sox coming up next right here at 101.3 The Game.
This, keeping on the down low here,
is the Dan Patrick Show.
John Shire was a player on a national title team, but he's only been there 7 years. Age, I think, really factors in because he's 33 years of age. Now, this is where we look at these legends. When the legend leaves, and then what happens? You never want to be the guy who follows. You want to be the guy who follows the guy who follows the legend. You don't want to be the guy who follows the legend.
Dan Patrick. The Dan Patrick Show.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on 101.3 The Game.